Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and you're all a bunch of fatheads. That, according to today's guest, he's Tom Naughton. He's author of Fathead. Okay, Tom, that's a book and that's a movie as well. And now you've got Fatheads for Kids, which is a, it's a book, right?
The book is called Fathead Kids. And then the subtitle is Stuff About Diet and Health I Wish I Knew When I Was Your Age. And when we're done with the film, it's still in production, we'll just give it the same name.
Okay, great. So those are the, share with us the resources available at your website.
I typically post a couple of times a week. I do a lot of analysis of studies, things in the news. I used to be a comedian. Fathead has a strong comedic angle. I kind of keep that going on the blog. Often when I write a post, it's to make fun of some really badly done study or some crazy government scheme to make us all thinner and healthier.
That's the edutainment aspect, right?
That is the edutainment part, correct.
Yep.
And I have some links to studies and whatnot on the blog. Mostly the resources that are there are the posts and then a couple of other sections. I haven't been posting as much recently, to be honest, because first we went a little crazy trying to get the book done, and now I'm going slightly crazier trying to get the film done because I promised I was going to premiere it in May, and I realize I have something like 24 days left to get it done.
Wow.
So I'm not posting as much, but I will get back to it. But really the big push for us has been the book recently.
What has caught your ire recently in particular, you know, in terms of weird government schemes or bad quality studies or things?
You know, I guess the great thing about it, if you're a blogger, is these people provide you with no end of material.
Right.
I mean, certainly the Tim Noakes thing, we're into you've got to be kidding me territory. They've done the same thing, apparently, to a doctor named Fetke in Australia for daring to recommend basically a paleo diet. We have all kinds of crazy government schemes that, you know, we're going to induce weight loss by forcing restaurants to not only to provide calorie counts on everything they sell, but on every conceivable combination of what they sell.
Wow.
Now, first off, just the theory itself. If you stop and think about it, these are the same people who think you are not intelligent enough to decide what kind of health insurance you want to buy. At the same time, they think if they confront you with an endless list of possibilities and combinations of calorie information, that you're going to sit down and analyze all that, and you're going to choose the way you what you eat and lose weight. In the case of Domino's Pizza, for example, they did the math and they figured out that they would have to create a list of 34 million combinations right. of calories.
All the permutations, yeah.
All the permutations. And what's amazing is this is, I call these people the anointed. That's based on a wonderful book that Thomas Sowell wrote called The Vision of the Anointed. Part of what makes them who they are is they don't believe they should require any evidence that their schemes will work before they implement them and force them on the rest of us. The evidence for the whole calorie counting thing, what evidence there is, says it doesn't work.
Yeah, actually, I've reviewed some of the studies and I'd think that, you know, knowledge is power. People would read labels and they'd make intelligent choices. But actually, the whole thing is so overwhelming for people that they don't. So, for example, I have trouble, you know, maybe it's a male thing. I don't know. I go to the store and my girlfriend says, you know, get some mustard or get some tomato sauce and make sure it's low sugar. And, you know, I'll look and I'll peer at the label. I'll pull my glasses off and look, you know, put my face 2 inches away from it. And lo and behold, I'll sometimes fill my shopping cart with things which still have sugar in them. You know, it's hard to be a discerning consumer sometimes.
Well, and also there actually were sort of pilot studies where they went ahead and put up the calorie count menus and put the calories on all the boxes of food. This is in restaurants and on the menu board, on the menu itself. And then they checked what people ordered before that went in and after that law went in. It didn't make any difference.
Yeah.
Because people eat what they want to eat. They don't look at it and go, oh, that's 1,400 calories. I'm going to not order that. And I'm going to order this, lower calorie chicken breast instead. And the people who do that, what they end up doing is they just eat more calories later in the day anyway.
And some of it actually is there's a perverse incentive involved because some people opt for what are called value meals, which means the more calories, the more of a punch that it packs for whatever, you know, $12.99, the better. You know, they don't feel like they're getting their money's worth unless they feel completely annihilated by the meal that they got in the restaurant. It's equated with the value of the food.
So that's one of the things, to answer your question, what drives me nuts. It's all these crazy schemes they come up with that are based on, there's no evidence that they'll work. It forces the restaurants to incur a lot of expense, which they're, of course, then going to pass along to those of us, you know, who buy their food. It's one crazy scheme after another. And the thing is, they're always barking up the wrong tree because this is the government that subsidizes grains, that told us grains should be the base of our diet. We followed that advice. We're getting fat and diabetic. Now they come up with all these crazy schemes to make us slimmer, none of which address the root of the problem, which is you told us to eat the wrong stuff.
Yeah. And not only that, not only are they giving the wrong advice, but the incentives, the subsidies are aligned with production of cheap grain-laden foods that are made from subsidized corn, wheat, and so on. There's agricultural subsidies. There's even subsidies to support the sugar industry to keep sugar cheap. What about that?
Yeah, exactly. So they subsidize the wrong foods, which makes them cheap, which means that's what's on the grocery store shelves. They not only subsidize them, they told us with the food pyramid that these are the foods we should be eating. So basically, we followed their advice. We got fatter and sicker as a result. And now they have all these other crazy schemes for how they're going to overcome the results of that. You know, with Let's Move and with slapping calorie labels on everything you eat. And it's basically one series of mistakes to try to undo the damage caused by another series of mistakes. What I kind of wish is, hey, let's just clean the slate. Let's start all over, get rid of all the subsidies, get rid of all the advice. Maybe people will actually get their dietary advice from their grandmothers and from based on other people's experience like they did before the government got involved and told us how to eat. And maybe things will just improve that way.
What about the food stamp program? That recently have been some revelations about that that are not too happy. That recipients of food assistance use a lot of their purchasing dollars to buy really poor quality foods, including soft drinks, sugary things, candy, and so on.
Yeah, but again, the government had a lot to do with turning people into carbohydrate addicts. I'm not crazy about the idea of jumping in and telling people, if they're going to be on food assistance, of saying you can only use that to buy green vegetables or whatever.
Right. Here's your kale allowance. You know, I don't know if
that's going to work. Exactly. And I remember reading in Denise Minger's wonderful book, Death by Food Pyramid, part of the reason we ended up with this recommendation to eat more grains is that they did want to expand the food stamp program. Grains are the cheapest food because they're subsidized. So they basically had the option of admitting that they weren't really giving people enough in food stamps to buy healthy foods, or they could declare grains to be a health food. And we all know which option they took. They declared grains to be a health food because that's what they could afford to subsidize.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I mean, you know, I can't really blame people. If you tell them you need to eat your grains to be healthy and people eat grains and then they get on the blood sugar roller coaster because of that, and then they start craving things that jack up their blood sugar, am I really supposed to hold it against them that they go buy a Twinkie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little bit like authorizing widespread prescribing of opiates and then conducting a war on drugs simultaneously.
Right, exactly.
It's kind of, you know, on the one hand, you're feeding and subsidizing the problem, getting people hooked, and then you're stigmatizing them, arresting them, and incarcerating them because of an addiction that ultimately was fostered by the subsidies for these and encouragement of these medications. Okay, this is a good point at which to pause because we have a message from one of our sponsors. So let's hear that. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally, and it's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout at tryzona.com. Okay, thanks for listening. Tom, you actually recently took issue with Morgan Spurlock. Morgan Spurlock, who is the director of the movie Super Size Me. Actually, he was the N-of-1 subject of that. He subjected himself to junk food for a couple of months, developed all kinds of medical problems, thus demonstrating, that junk food is not good for you. But you have a bit of a quibble with that approach.
Well, sure. I mean, that was back when I made Fathead. Super Size Me was an entertaining movie, but when I'm not doing films and books and that's I happen to be a computer programmer for a living. One thing you don't want to do is throw bad math at me and expect me not to notice. So when I was watching that and he said, oh, I'm going to follow these rules. I'm going to eat everything on the menu. I'm only going to eat three meals a day, blah, blah, blah. When his nutritionist told him twice, you're eating 5,000 calories a day, alarm bells went off in my head. Because I've eaten at McDonald's enough to know that if you are eating 5,000 calories a day, you're trying. And you're not following the rules he set out. So basically the quibble got down to, you did not go to McDonald's and eat three normal meals a day and have all these horrible results. You went to McDonald's and you stuffed yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you obviously bought a lot of desserts and et cetera, et cetera. So basically what you proved was, don't go anywhere, whether it's McDonald's or the grocery store, and stuff yourself with desserts and sodas. I think we all knew that.
So I another way of saying that is that whether you go to a place that purveys so-called fast food or whether you go to a gourmet restaurant and order, you know, the most exquisite, you know, pastry that costs, you know, $32 for the dessert, ultimately, metabolically, it's somewhat equivalent, right? The ingredients may be inferior at the fast food eatery, but you still may be doing yourself irrevocable harm even with, quote, high-quality ingredients if they're the wrong ingredients.
Sure, and you don't solve a problem by shooting at the wrong target. And I've done enough research to know that, and this is pretty reliable evidence, people who eat at fast food restaurants really don't consume any more sugar than the people who buy their sugar at the grocery store. There have been studies of areas where there are a lot of fast food restaurants versus areas where there are almost no fast food restaurants. The rates of obesity are roughly pretty much the same. And what it gets down to is sugar addicts are going to get their sugar. If there's a fast food restaurant in the neighborhood, they may go get it there. If there isn't, they'll go get their sugar at the grocery store. And I'm sure you do the same thing I do. You're at the grocery store. You occasionally look at the cart in the and you know the person who's in line in front of you. And you're horrified.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm thinking, well, this has nothing to do with fast food or McDonald's or anything else. This is a sugar addict. And I'm looking at them loading up on all their sugars and their breads and their noodles and et cetera, et cetera. So blaming fast food was, you know, it was a cute way to make a documentary, but it had nothing to do with getting to the root of the problem.
What I'm sometimes even more horrified by is by some of the pimply high school kids at the checkout, you know, who are sitting there sort of bored, you know, reading the codes on the foods. And, you know, I'll slip them something like a turnip or a rutabaga or some escarole. And they'll ask me, what is this? Because they've never seen it before. They need flashcards to know what an ordinary vegetable is because it's just not part of their repertoire.
We have the privilege now of living on a small hobby farm. So my kids actually know what real food looks like and where it comes from. But yeah, that's a huge problem. And, you know, you asked earlier, like, what's changed in the last 30, 40 years? I think a big part is we've got kids out there now. They've never seen food that didn't come out of a box or a bag.
Yeah, and it's hard to it's food literacy. It's actually, you know, lack of understanding about food, food values, food quality, and even the availability of better options. Do you sometimes fault the health food industry? I mean, look, we're stigmatizing fast food, you know, Jack in the Box, McDonald's, and so on. It seems like the health food, so-called health food industry, is a little bit complicit in an effort to get us to buy more delectable treats, chips, and, you know, protein bars that really may be Trojan horses for a lot of carbohydrates and sugar.
Yeah, I don't fault them a whole lot here for this reason. And I had this debate with a lot of people when Fathead came out because I was disputing Super Size Me. Their attitude was people eat this stuff because McDonald's sells it. And I would say over and over, you have the economics of that backwards. McDonald's sells it because it is what people will buy.
Yep.
And same thing with, I've noticed a huge shift just, and I'm not talking health food stores, I'm talking our local Kroger. I've noticed a huge shift in what Kroger is selling. The reason being what people want to buy has shifted. So to an extent, yeah, you could say, well, look, those health food companies were selling us, you know, snack wells and things that were low fat and high in sugar. They only sold them because that's kind of what we told them by voting with our dollars that we wanted at the time, because that's what we were told was healthy. So I don't so much blame the producers for what they're producing. I blame the people who told us those were good foods mm-hmm. so that we demanded them. So that's what they produced.
So, Tom, where would you like to see things going? I mean, you're obviously on kind of a crusade to reform Americans' eating habits. What would you like to see changed?
I want to see us continue in the direction that we are finally headed. Like I said, I see huge changes at the grocery store. I have seen full-fat dairy make a comeback instead mm-hmm. of the yep. skim stuff where they add the sugar to make it palatable. Kroger, for example, now, and I have no affiliation with Kroger, it's just a positive thing I noticed, they have come out with a house brand called Simple Truth. Very few ingredients, minimal, often no processing. Mm-hmm. Our local Kroger now has pictures of the farmers locally who have grown your produce. So wow. I think there's this movement of more and more people understanding, get away from the processed food. No fat. Fat is not the problem. There's a brand of potato chips now that they've gotten rid of the junk oils. The potato chips now are all fried in coconut oil or mm-hmm. avocado oil.
Right.
And I'm seeing more and more of that. And that's, I want to keep pushing us in that direction. One thing people asked me years ago when Fathead came out, okay, I get what you're saying. How do we get the USDA to change its advice? And I always gave the same answer is they won't. My mission isn't to get the USDA mm-hmm. to change its advice. My mission is to get people to ignore them.
Answer. Government is not the yeah. answer, in other words. Is that right. You know, if we look to government, you know, we want government reforms, we want government to do this. And they have, I think they've demonstrated their irrevocable failure to be able to do this right. So I think it, you know, the answer lies, it's certainly my mission statement, yours as well, education, 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 let people right. vote with their consumer dollars and their feet to make the right choices. Our distrust in government, at least on that account, is well-placed.
Absolutely.
So what's our intelligent medicine take-home message for today? There are resources available. Where? Share with us. And now, are your books and your films available for purchase?
Yes. The newest film, not yet. It will be in a few months.
That's the Kids.
The book just came out. It's Fathead. Called, again, I'm sorry, go ahead.
The Fathead for Kids book.
Right. It's called Fathead Kids. Fathead is two words, by the way, and it's gotten enough traction on Amazon that that's really all you have to go type, Fathead Kids. Of course, we have links to it on the blog, which is fathead-movie.com. Fathead, the original movie, still available on Amazon. And it's available on for anyone out there who is an Amazon Prime member. You can actually watch it for free now. Just go to Amazon Prime, type Fathead, two words. It'll come up. And we hope the kids' film is out soon.
Great. Okay, recommend it very highly. Parents, grandparents, get it. For your kids, because the messaging is just right. It's important to affect kids' attitudes about eating in the right way at an early point before irreparable harm is done. Tom, congratulations, and thanks for your untiring efforts to help Americans out in this important area.
Appreciate you having me on to talk about it.
My pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.